Thank you for joining us, everyone, for another edition of Creatives Chat, episode 38, featuring
Ryan Van Hagen.
Join us as we chat about who knows what.
Yeah, sounds like a plan.
Our show shall begin
now. Streaming from Retro Earth Studio and brought to you by
WeAreHistorically.com. Conscious Human Apparel, and
learn to play jazz piano like a pro by a pro with Jazz Piano Pro Essentials at jazzpianopro.com.
Hello, and thank you for joining us on Creatives Chat. Hi, I'm Rusty.
I'm Peter.
And Peter, tell everyone who we have on our show today.
Well, Rusty, we have quite the energetic powerhouse. He's a diverse artist and a public figure here in the Pacific Northwest. He's serious about being silly. We have Mr. Ryan Van Hagen.
I am so excited to hear what you guys have to chat about. Everybody, meet Ryan.
Yo, Ryan, I'm so excited to have this conversation with you. Welcome to Creative Chat. How you doing, man?
I got you. Thank you.
Of course, yo. Well, I think one of the things that's really kind of caught my eye about you, like not only like lyrically, but stylistically from the videos, just everything about you has your own unique flavor. And I think that unapologetically yourself and like that authenticity is really why I want to highlight you as our artist this week. So what's been the formation? Like, how's your vision of Ryan Van Hagen? How did it come to be?
I think you described it really well. I just want to be unapologetically myself and nobody else. And I just want to make things fun and make things interesting. And I always go back to the thought that if this is the entertainment business and me as an entertainer, the idea here is to entertain. And so that's my focus, is to entertain people. And there's no rules anymore. There's just really no rules, right? So like something entertaining that I can do, as long as it's not detrimental to other people, you know what I'm saying? There's obvious no-goes, right? But I'm not opposed to grabbing the low-hanging fruit if I know that it will get an impact, if I know that it will get an impression. I really don't. I just don't give a shit anymore. It's like, I'm just, yeah. Why not do all the ridiculous things that you think about that could work? All those, like, you know how people have ideas, I had the idea to invent that thing. You know, if I would have invented the pet rock, I would be the millionaire. Well, why the fuck didn't you invent the pet rock then? You should have just done that shit, you know? And so nowadays, when I have those ideas of like, hey, this is a ridiculous concept that I think I could draw a lot of attention towards myself with. Should I do it or not? Well, is it really a detriment to anybody or society?
Yeah.
No. Is it kind of a detriment to myself in kind of a weird self-deprecating way? Yeah, but you know what? I don't give a shit. Let's do it. So
I love it.
There's no rules. There's no rules. So I don't feel the need to follow rules in regards to promotion and, new tactics and concepts and all that shit.
Where did you get to that point where the judgments and perceptions of others no longer had that kind of invisible chain that it has for most people? Because I think it's something that, you know, we talk about it lighthearted, you know, being like the unapologetically me, but it takes a lot of courage to be that free nowadays in this, you know, and I see it as this development and like unfoldment. So it's like, when did you get to that point where you're just like, fuck it?
Yeah, well, maybe now that I'm getting older, I have laugh lines when I smile and laugh, and you know, I get my little forehead wrinkles in when I go like this. That's why I got my beanie on, so you can't see it. you know what I'm saying? And you know, my body hurts and shit. You know, I'm fucking past age 25. Your body just slowly starts trying to kill you. And so, you know, the more kind of stuff that you do to counteract that, the longer, you know, it takes your body to kill you. So I'm just like, yeah, why not? You know, it's like, I might as well give this my all so I can look at myself in the mirror and say, you know, if I don't make it, whatever the fuck that means these days, make it,
right?
Like, look, it's different for everybody. But like, at the end of the day, if I don't make it, I want to be able to look myself in the face and say, did you do everything in your power to fucking make it? Yes. Okay. Well, then you don't have any regrets in regards to your rap career and, you know, sure, this dream and this whole, it sounds cliche to call it a dream, right? Because it just doesn't seem like that. It seems like something very tangible that could happen. And so I owe it to myself. I owe it to myself to be my best self and really put my best foot forward and just say, hey, you know, I have that idea. I'm going to fucking execute it, because why not? Because the other guy won't. And also, I think back to your question, I think I just kind of fucking rambled, which I hate, right? But that's kind of welcomed here, so maybe it's a good space for that. I think your question was, what, you know, when did I get to that point of dropping the fear? I mean, you and I, we're both from Mukilteo. You know, we both went to middle school together and shit. And I think you can connect to. Do you remember the penguin windows? Or like the guys that used to knock hella doors? Like when everyone was like 17, 18 years old, they get these jobs like knocking doors and shit.
Okay.
So I worked for a company that like had a similar business model, a lot more ethical though. Those guys got shut down for doing some fuck shit. So I worked for a canvassing company for 3 years on and off, and I like managed teams of solicitors. And basically what that taught me was just like, it does not fucking matter. Accept and pivot. You know what I'm saying? You knock on somebody's door, they're an asshole to you. Why? Because they're pissed off about something in their life. And they see somebody who, you know, just based on society's views on this kind of thing, it's like, oh yeah, solicitor. Cool. I'm an asshole to this person. And so they do it, right? They do it, right? And, a different version of that is, you know, the Karening, right? People who are dicks to, you know, people in service positions, right? They're like, well, you're at work, so I can be a dick to you and you can't be a dick back. You know, so I faced enough of that. And, you know, literally it's just like, okay, cool. That person was an asshole to me. It doesn't matter that they were an asshole. The answer was no, which is totally acceptable, right? Yeah. And why is it acceptable? Because the next person could say yes. Next one. I don't fucking care. You know, if someone's an asshole to me, if I swing and I miss, cool. I'll swing again. Doesn't matter. It literally, none of it matters. None of it matters. Do not care. Right. It's like, and also the big lie with music is that once you drop something and you promote it a little bit and it gets its buzz, it's dead. No, that's not dead. You can promote things for as long as you want. You can just keep putting money at it and at your own rate with Facebook ads, Instagram ads. They're all willing to work with the budget. You could fucking spend $1 every day, and you would probably do better than most people who are like, nah, bro, I don't pay for that. I don't put money into ads. Sorry, it just doesn't work that way. You got to, like, I mean, unfortunately, and I will say unfortunately, in late stage capitalism, there are some really gnarly gatekeepers who are going to hold that gate closed until you give them some goddamn money. And so to be an artist and really actually try to, again, make it, what the fuck does that mean? If you want to make it, you just have to light tons of money on fire for a while. And we're talking thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. Like the whole concept of blowing up is just not really a thing anymore. It's just not really. I mean, some people go viral. TikTok does that. But to count on that, I think, is really ignorant in a way. Yeah. So my focus is just do everything I can so I can look myself in the mirror and say, yeah, dude, you did everything you could. It's like when you break up with somebody, you know, you do everything. No, seriously. It's
no, like, I got you.
Yeah, because otherwise you're playing the what if game the rest of your life. And that sucks. No one wants to play the what if game. So anytime anybody's unsure about, you know, someone who's kind of their ex or whatever, I say, go find out. Okay, can you look at yourself in the mirror right now and say, I did everything in my power to make this relationship work, yes or no? And if the answer is no, you owe it to yourself and that person to go back and try to make it work and learn the lesson the hard way. Because once you learn the lesson, guess what? You can look at yourself in the mirror and you have that peace of mind and you say, oh, okay, well, screw that person. I did everything I could, and it's okay. It's okay that it didn't work. You know why? Because it's a bunch of people whose doors I can knock on, and maybe I can, you know, take them on a date or have sex with them or get married to them or have children, right? Yeah, it's, all, it's all the same path, right? So, I don't give a shit anymore. I don't give a shit. You just knock more doors. You just knock more doors. It's all good. There's 7 billion people on Earth. So even if people don't like you in your own hometown or in any town, or anybody says anything negative, you know what? That's okay, because there are 7 billion more out there that you haven't talked to, that haven't seen what you're doing. So for that reason, I don't care. I've been really fortunate to be, I don't know if I should say blessed, because I'm not really a religious person, but be blessed with a really good job where I can work 100% remote. And I, I'm fortunate enough to have a little bit of extra cash flow that I can put behind what I'm doing and, light all that money on fire until the wheels turn and we do things. And, I do believe, it's like, if I have X amount of dollars, it's not an if thing. It's a when thing. And I just don't care anymore. I just don't care. It's like, I have those ideas, I'm going to do them. And if they rub people the wrong way, that's okay. That's okay. Because I'm not really like, it's like, as long as I'm not doing anything detrimental, I just don't care if you don't like what I'm doing. It's okay. Like, high five. You know, you might even like me as a person. You don't like my music. That's cool. It's totally fair.
Right.
You know, you might like my song. I like my other song. That's totally fair. People have a right to like or not like any aspect of anything. And at any point, communicate that to you. I just don't care. Life goes on.
And it's that indifference that I find is like, again, it's not like a religious concept. It's really more so just a deeper truth. When you have that, just, you can say the more esoteric or middle or Eastern sense would be indifference, dispassionate, but really it's just a whole bunch of fuck it. It's just like, hey, whatever, gonna shoot your shot. And I think that's something that you think about, like when you say that there's like 7 billion people plus out there.
Yeah,
you have a market. I think that's something that a lot of people, they're so narrow-minded with fear. And I think that's the issue with it, is that it constricts you to like tunnel vision it and be like, no, I have to do it this way. I have to go this path. I have to really just emulating someone else. And then again, like you're not actually really fully expressing who you are because you're trying to copy someone else's model. So
yeah,
I think that's one of the coolest things about yourself that like really catches my eye is like, just from like the videography aspect, like, what was it? You can say like Something Foul was one of the most like, is this what it's like in this dude's mind type of videos? Like it got me like looking inside. Like I'm more intrigued. Like I had to watch it like 5 times. So I was just like, you can see something different every time you, and then also you have to add the lyrics on top of that, like the actual storyline of the song. So like, it's pretty dope just to see the complexity of the carefreeness that you have about it. Cause you expect like, oh yeah, it's just whatever. I'm just being myself. But like, there's so many layers to it. So like, how do you really hone everything that's going on in there and express it into like a visual form or like into a song?
Nowadays, it's by being super anal and just super, like it's wild. I nitpick everything. I'm not that fucking, I'm not that dope of a rapper. I'm really not, but I just have really high standards. So if something isn't exactly how I want it, I will go back to the studio to fix one tiny thing. I will be on email threads back and forth. Hey, actually, the way that the very end of the song, and it fades, can you actually add an electric guitar that goes down and now? Like, it doesn't matter. Like, there's just so many things. And I just keep going through until I finally say, okay, I don't hate this. I hate things until I love them. There's no middle ground. And I know that's like not a very like sound of mind way of thinking about things. I do know that. I know that it's like, to be an extremist in that regard can be like ridiculous and just spin out your motors. But it's like, it's really how I have to be with everything. It's like, no, I got to come in and punch that one thing. Or yeah, no, hey, I need to add a layers singing something underneath here. Or hey, that one line, can you add the like telephone radio effect so it sounds like I'm Mac Dre rapping from inside prison? You know, like that thing, right? Like, stuff like that. I'm really not that, I'm not that filthy, but I have to get it where it needs to be.
See, now this is what I want to take a pause though, is because you're sitting there saying, I'm not that dope of a rapper, but got lines like, I moonwalked to the dark side of my mind. Like, get out of here, yo. Like, I think that's the stuff that.
Thank you.
I want to always give credit to the artist in the sense of, like, lyrically, you do have a lot of different styles and flows that you can not only, like, deliver, but articulately, and I appreciate that when you enunciate, because so many rappers with the mumble rap game, like, the fact that you could actually, like, hear every word that you're saying and you do sense the preciseness of it, that's methodical as fuck, I'd like to say it. And where did you get that kind of, like, strategic approach to your music and this craft?
I just got sick of it not being what I liked. I got sick of putting things out that weren't that tight. And like, and then I looked back at it and I was just like embarrassed, you know, it's like, and you're always your own worst critic. Right. Yeah. So like, I just got sick of putting things out and seeing thumbs downs on YouTube. And that was when I did care a lot more, you know? So like, you know, and it was because it wasn't that dope. It just wasn't. And also, like, I had a conversation with my good friend Jordan Callahan at one point, and what he had said, he's like, dude, I think what you're missing really is, like, your lyrics matching your videos. Because you're saying a bunch of wild shit in your songs, but, like, your videos is, like, you rapping with a snapback on in a hoodie in downtown Seattle. Like, why the fuck are you doing that? Like, that doesn't make sense. It doesn't catch people's eye. It's like, what stands out about this? Nothing stands out about this, about the fact that you look awkward doing rap hand shit and saying some ridiculous, like, shock value shit. And he didn't say it like that. This is, like, me just being really direct and blunt about what he was saying. Yeah. But that was it. And so, yeah, now I try to make things ridiculous. And that's so funny because Something Foul was really just like, okay, what's some ridiculous shit? Oh, okay, cool. Let's just get some chicken ass and we'll get some chick shaking ass. And like, I'll order pizza for everybody who comes through to be an extra and help me and hold the light or whatever. And we have like a little party. There's probably like 10 or 15 people in my apartment. And we just, you know, had a little thing. And then, you know, we had two chicks on the table having a whipped cream fight and shit. And, you know, yeah, it was a good time. And, you know, they're both good friends of mine. It was a good old time. And yeah, it's cool.
But I think that puts it perfectly, man, is like, it really did capture like the, I don't even want to use the word eccentric because there's somewhat of like a negative connotation with that, but just like the, I almost want to say like anomalous factor. Like it's an anomaly, like seeing the delivery, seeing the video. And then again, like you're talking like the shock value lines, like a lot of like complex metaphors, just even understanding
everything
that's going on. It's really a high level of not only kind of like artistic approach, but just creative expression. And that's one of the reasons why I'm like, where do you tap into that? Like, what is your drives for just delivering this, just bothering yourself out to the world?
At the end of the day, there's so many people out there whose goal is to be as normal as possible and just like fly under the radar and like, just like, and whether that's like an I don't want to be noticed thing, because like escapism is a big thing in this day and age, and people who like, you know, have body dysmorphia or gender dysmorphia, there's a lot of different regards of that. But like, no, just in general, there's a lot of people who just kind of try to fly under the radar, and just be the like least noticed, most normal person ever. You know, like there are members of my family. It's like, they are as normal as possible. It's like, yeah, what would this guy do? Like, what would these people do? Okay, it's Sunday. All right, everyone put your Seahawk jersey on and we're going to fucking watch the Seahawks. You know what I'm saying? There's so many people like that, right? Because what do you do on Sunday? You put on your fucking jersey and you watch the Seahawks because we're from Seattle. That's what we do. And it's like, you know, oh, okay, well, what do we do for Christmas? Well, everybody's going to wear the same outfit. You know, and we're going to take a picture and have a Christmas card, right? And it's like, and like, you know, and I think that shit's cool because it makes people happy. People love that shit, right?
Yeah.
But I've never been like that. I've never wanted to just fit in with people. I mean, I'd be lying if I said I didn't care at all about fitting in, because I do, you know what I'm saying? I pay attention to fashion and, you know, what's cool and what's not. And I try to incorporate current themes in my songs so I don't sound like something that's, you know, 2010 as fuck. Right. You know, like you really got to like tap into what's current. But like, I see it like this: in order for people to take you seriously as an artist, you got to be the same as everybody else, but you got to be different. You really got to be different. But you also have to be the same. You can't be too fucking weird. If you're too fucking weird, everyone's like, dude, what's this? But if you're too basic, nobody cares. You know what I'm saying? It's like, there's a lot of artists like that where you're like, whoa, okay, who actually likes this person, you know? But there's a place for everyone. Again, 7 billion people, everyone has a market, right? It's like, I don't know any of my homies that are rappers that really fuck with Flo Rida. But Flo Rida is huge. Or Pitbull, right? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Or like Imagine Dragons, you know? It's like, I don't really know people who listen to fucking Imagine Dragons or 21 Pilots or like One Republic and shit. But you know what? Like they kind of feel like industry plant bands, right? They just come out of nowhere and they're just huge, right? But there's a fuckload of people that like that shit. There's a fuckload of people, right? There's somebody for everybody, you know? So I try to keep it spicy, and I've never wanted to just blend in. I've always wanted to kind of stand out and do something a little different and keep things interesting. You know, contrast is the spice of life. It's like, if you watch a fucking movie, you watch a fucking movie and it's like about a dude that has an office job and he goes to his cubicle and he does his little dance on the computer all day and calls people and shit. And then he goes home, you know, he orders a pizza or he makes himself chicken and rice and some broccoli. And then he like, you know, watches The Office until bed and he wakes up and does it again. Nobody would give a shit to watch that movie. No one would give a shit because there's no contrast. There's nothing exciting. There's nothing that draws out a strong emotion. And so I think that the best content is the content that invokes a strong emotion from people. And people go a lot of different ways with that. You know what I'm saying? It's the reason horror movies are huge, right? You know, entertainment is chaotic. You know, it has to have, you know, rhythm to it, you know, as you build the story with these thematic elements, foreshadowing, et cetera. But it has to be chaotic. It can't just be a normal person's depiction of life. That doesn't work that way. There's got to be something that like excites people. Yeah. There's got to be something that you know, that stands out. You know, it's like, what are the things that people like to watch? Things that are either highly positive or highly negative. You know, it's like you see like your buddy put out a music video on YouTube or Facebook and it's like, you know, you get 200 views, 400 views. And then like you see somebody who's not an artist catch a video of a fight at their high school on video and put that on their Facebook, like 400,000 views. Right.
Exactly.
Because people want to watch a fight. So people a lot of times will go against the grain, and I don't care. I'm willing to just go with the grain. And you know what I'm saying? There's no rules. There's just no rules.
Well, and I think that right there is it's a subtle but really powerful concept that I think a lot of people get caught up in. It's that the conformity aspect where they put this kind of self-constraint, the limitations on themselves. And when you really do just say, whatever, it's a free-for-all, you know, like this is the planet Earth at the whole playground. This is one experience and it's mine. So I'm going to do what I want with it. That's something that is incredibly liberating for people. And that's something where I say, again, it's like, it takes a lot of courage or really just understanding of yourself to tap into that. Because again, you're really just allowing your unique self to shine. You're not trying to filter shit.
No.
So it's like, that's the thing right there is, you know, what were those kind of like moments right in your life that kind of put you to that point where just to let go of all that old stuff, like all the old paradigms, all the old ideologies, and just kind of just dance your dance?
I don't know. I really don't know. That's an awesome question. That's a fucking great question. But I just don't know. Some moments where I stopped doing that shit. Probably just like through sales, just having so much like the data of trial and error of trying to fucking talk to people who are innately hostile.
Like dealing with the rejection of it, just be like quick slam in the face now. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I did that shit. I was a Zoomies guy for a year and a half. No surprise. Everybody. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Zoomies guy. Hi. What's up, bro? just kind of going through sales and realizing that sometimes saying ridiculous shit to people is what gets them to pay attention. And
that's interesting. And,
you know, and with trial and error, there's also error. I've had some problems. You know, I've said some fucking wild shit to get attention, had people fucking freak out on me. You know? Yeah, totally. You know, last week I said some fuck shit on Facebook and I had like 50 people pissed. Pissed. I was like, you know what? Hey, I feel it. And I had to sit back and say, that was dumb. I shouldn't have said that. This is what I should have said. And, you know, if you're upset with me, you should talk to me about it. And if you don't talk to me about it, you start treating me differently, we probably shouldn't be friends if you can't talk about your feelings. You know, I just don't care. It's like, I don't do the unspoken thing. I'm direct with everybody. if there's an issue, it needs to be confronted. Not all confrontations are negative. Most are positive. Most are positive.
That's how we grow.
Oh, also, this is, I'm reluctant to talk about this because this is going to make me seem like a total douchebag. But when I was like 18, 19, you remember the wave where everybody, like, not everybody, I shouldn't say everybody. Do you remember when they had those shows about like the pickup artist and like how to pick up on women and shit?
Yeah,
like,
it was huge. That douchebag
shit. Okay, cool. So like I studied that shit pretty in depth, like for a quick like month or so when I lived in a house with a bunch of dudes. And like a lot of those concepts were douchey and, you know, kind of rooted in coercion, which is fucked up. But it was like it taught me that being outside the norm gets you noticed, which was something I always felt in my heart. So then when I started kind of doing it and talking to people, you know, and saying things that are kind of wild. So like, for instance, when I was like 17, 18, instead of asking people like, what do you mean? I would say, how do you figure? Because it was like some like old school shit that people only say in like 80s movies or like some East Coast type of shit. So I would start like changing the way that I ask people the same questions. So instead of, you know, oh, what do you mean? How do you figure? You know, I'd say things like that. And once I got on stage, because you have your stage fright for your first little while. And I think it was after about 2 years or 3 years. You know what it was? It was the first time I got in front of a big crowd, like a sold out fucking crowd. And I had this epiphany to say, the difference between the people who are good live and usually not as good live, and it's very simple, are the people who ask the crowd to make noise and tell them what to do. As soon as the song stops, you say, make some noise or make some motherfucking noise. And then everybody does it, right? But if you don't do that and the song ends, everybody will, some people will, but it's not nearly like, make some motherfucking noise. You know what I'm saying?
Control like the audience.
That was a key thing. And I actually talked with Ill Chris one time. One or two times in my life that I've ever like talked to Ill Chris. We're backstage in Tacoma at some show. And he said, performing, he goes, it's like you're in a fight or something and you got somebody by the back of their neck and you're fucking grabbing them and you have absolute control. And he goes, if you go like this, they go down. If you pull them back up, they come back up. And he goes, that's what you do. He goes, when you're on stage, that whole crowd, you have all of them by the back of the neck and it's up to you to move them and shake them and make them say, hey, and ho, and, you know, blah, 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 and scream and all that kind of shit. And then I kind of partnered that with like, okay, say some kind of wild eccentric shit, you know, and here we are. So
the mystery unfolds.
I guess. Yeah. Dude.
I love it. You're taking the reins, yo. And I think that's something that's really cool is like, again, it's that energetic aspect when you're in the crowd, when you are taking control of the audience, you're no longer getting consumed by the energy, but you're now starting to kind of channel it and invest it where you want it to go and kind of like ride the wave yourself. And I think that's really cool to see the different approach of that, again, like evolving from the old school kind of like pickup artist mastery stuff to recognize that it's not anything in terms of like societal norms that really makes people drawn to one another. It's you being your most unique self. And that's the one thing that's really, I want to kind of touch on is that that's the interesting thing about maturity, you know, is that when we kind of grow and learn these kind of like deeper concepts that kind of take us to those realms of like overcoming our fears and being courageous, you really tap back into that playful spirit like when we're kids. And I think that's one of the things is like, I always recognize, like for me, an artist catches my ear when I can really feel the energy through their music. And I think that's one of the things that you really do transfer is like, I can, the entire time when you're hitting the song, it's like, oh, we're going, let's go. Yeah. Like the entire discography, you can just listen through that multiple times because it just keeps the energy up. And I think that's something that's fascinating. So in terms of just like your own expression of really letting go, and I guess you could say evolving your kind of persona in this sense of your performance aspect, like, when did you really take the shift of just going full on like Mac Dre, like Weird Al?
I I love that. Weird Al was the first album I owned as a child when I was 8 years old. The first CD I ever owned was Weird Al Yankovic Running the Scissors. When did I really take that? It hasn't happened yet. I haven't really taken it. And I'm excited to show you what I'm working on, and just how far we're going to take it in that regard. Okay, fuck it. I'll give you some of the beans, okay?
Let's hear it. What we got?
You quoted one of the lines from the Drake song that I put out, a couple months ago. And which is really funny. Nothing in that song is about Drake. It just sounds like a Drake-ass beat. And I didn't know what the fuck to call it. And I said, hey, if I could call something the Drake song, I think people will listen to it. And maybe that'll go way up in the Spotify search history when you type in the Drake song. That's like the first fucking thing that pops up. Because there's probably a lot of people that like type that shit. Because Drake's like the biggest artist that ever existed. Like in a fucking streaming numbers thing, right? I'm like, all right, cool. We used Cameo. We used Cameo to get a cameo from Drake's dad.
Yes.
So here's what we did, okay? So me and Gertie, we filmed a fucking music video. In it, we have a bunch of Drake references. We have Degrassi playing on a projector behind me while I'm rapping, including the scenes of him rapping in a wheelchair and being shot. And then also there's one where he stands up from his wheelchair because a girl is slipping on a banana peel in the cafeteria, and he stands up from his wheelchair, catches her and kisses her. And it's just so fucking Drake and so funny. We have that. And then we built a Drake shrine. So like, think Hey Arnold.
Yes. Helga Pataki.
We did that with Drake. We took a big doll and we put Drake's face on it. And we made a little shrine in my closet, which still exists to this day, in my guest room. It's really funny if people are asleep and they wake up. There's like this little like yay high like Drake baby doll that's just like staring at you like from the corner with a Nike tracksuit on. And so we did all that. We filmed the video, and then we requested on Cameo that Drake's dad watch the video and then react to it. And he fucking did it. And so we play the video and it starts and it's Drake's dad literally being like, Ryan, I don't do cameos regarding my son or his music. Please stop requesting this. And while we're at it, your music sucks too. Bang! And the video starts. So when I say I don't give a shit anymore and there's no fucking rules, this is what I mean. Why not? Why can't we do this? Why can't I actually get Drake's dad to star in my music video and talk shit to me? You know what I'm saying? Like, I want Drake to respond to this shit. It's called the song. Like, you saw this, the graphic is just a shitload of Drake's and then me Photoshopped over it being like, yeah. So, yeah, no, shit like that. And then the one after it, we're filming next weekend. I'm going to be playing a grand piano dressed in a giant penis costume. Serenading somebody dressed in a giant hand costume. And it's a love song. And we're going to, kind of paint the love story between a penis and a hand. It's a theme about self-love, really. I don't think it's really detrimental to society to do those kind of things. And they're very spicy as something that people will probably want to watch and be like, holy shit, have you seen this? That's where I want to be.
Well, and I think it brings out, like, I mean, I'm sitting over here just like just the concept visualizing. I can't wait for this to drop because that's the type of stuff that's what real creative expression's all about, man. Like bringing out that joy and that humor and that just like it completely just melts away the standards of what things are supposed to be. And you recognize instantly, wow, this is a lot more dope.
Yeah. And then the fucked up thing about the Drake song too, is there's two other aspects, which I did not disclose that are a part of it that are like some other reasons it could go viral. I'm really excited. And, like I said, I'm fortunate enough to like have budgets these days for promoting my shit. And so
That's dope. Well, when's it drop? When's it coming out? That's what I'm curious about.
I mean, I could upload it tomorrow if I wanted to. I'm going to meet with a few people. I have a few like close friends who I trust in regards to like their opinions and marketing and shit, who do artist management and do online promotion, probably people, you know, as well. We're going to meet the four of us together, and we're going to sit down and, you know, we have a checklist and we're just crossing things off the checklist, and we're like, okay, cool. It's drop date. Bang. So this is actually going to be like my first bigger like release. And the last two videos that I have up are like, just kind of like, I won't say irrelevant, but it's like, it was more just like, I need content. Okay. I need to drop a video. Let's film a video. Right. And I don't really want to operate that way anymore. It's like, I need something. So let's settle, right? Let's create something really quick just to be filler content. I don't really feel the need to do that anymore. I'd rather pull out all the stops, make something that's utterly ridiculous and drop it. It's like, you know, it's like you if you follow Macklemore, like if you were around when Macklemore was first getting big, you know, it's like everything that he dropped was target marketed like at a different demographic, and it was very relatable. You know, he had the song about addiction. So anyone who struggled with addiction or has a family member that struggles with addiction, they felt that shit. Then he had the Irish Pride song. And any person who's white is an eighth Irish, or if they're not, they're going to act like they are on St. Patrick's Day because it's an excuse to get twice as fucking drunk, you know? So he drops the Irish Pride song. And then he drops the Dave Niehaus song. And everybody in Seattle is like, oh my God, dude, oh, the Dave Niehaus, like his dead song, yes. And then, of course, he gets to go down to Safeco Field and rock the song during a ball game. Then everybody's like, Macklemore. All these people have heard of Macklemore now. Tons of new fans, right? Yeah. So like that, bang, 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 bang. Just one right after another. The Michael Jordan song, the Wing song, right? And then top it off right before you get it voted upon, the gay marriage song. He gets it on Ellen. It blows the fuck up because Ellen starts using it on her show. And then gay marriage gets legalized, and he was ahead of the curve instead of after the curve. And it was just absolutely beautiful. You know, like I see marketing as a work of art. I see the marketing aspect of music and the business side of things to me is more exciting than the actual art part. Than the fucking, it really is. Like that shit is fascinating to me. Like, how do you level up? How do you boss up? How do you stand out? How do you make yourself, you know, we'll say worthy in a completely oversaturated market? You know, technology's made it never easier and never harder to be an artist, because everybody can go to Best Buy and buy a fucking microphone and an interface for $100-$200. They can do it on a Best Buy credit card too and put zero down, right? And then, you know, you go home, you put on your bucket hat, and congratulations, you're a SoundCloud rapper. You know, everybody does it now. Everybody raps. Everybody fucking raps. And so with that, it makes it harder because there's so much competition. So it's like, how do you stand out? So that's why I think the way I think is say, every fucking move I make, I want to stand out. Yeah. I want to stand out. And I want people to know who the fuck I am, whether they like me or not. You know what I'm saying? I don't really approve of this shit, because again, back to the detrimental thing, but like there's a reason that Kanye West comes out and says fucked up shit like, slavery was a choice, right before he drops an album, because he's about to drop an album. But, you know, back to the point, how do you stand out? How do you stand out? How do you get people to talk about you, right? It's like, you look at politicians, right? You look around, you know who politicians are. Why? Because there's fucking signs everywhere. How many rappers do you know that have signage in Seattle? Not a single one.
Yeah, you might get a few stickers game. Every now and there.
That's like free game.
Yeah.
Find manufacturers that make political fucking campaign signs, drop a band on that, and go fucking sprinkle them all over Seattle. All over Seattle. Because people will Google that shit.
Yeah.
People will Google that shit.
Oh, yeah.
When Ryan Caraveo blew up, he had a fucking a mural on 130th and Aurora.
Yeah.
Right across from Roosevelt High School. You see that shit?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. I had a client like right by there.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so that big concrete retaining wall, apparently that's one of the family members' houses. And that family member told him, and I didn't hear this from Ryan himself, okay? So in case this is not correct, but to my knowledge, I will say, one of his family members said, yeah, you can use my retaining wall and like use it as a billboard. So what he did is he bought a URL for isthisparadise.com. And what that did is it took you directly to a website, which wasn't a website. It sent you straight to his YouTube video for his brand new music video that was shot with a high fucking budget called Paradise. And then the song got 100,000 views organically, slow and steady, over the next couple months. It's a thought-provoking statement. Is this paradise.com? Well, I want to know what that is. So people Google the shit. Rappers don't do that kind of shit. I'm not afraid to do that kind of shit anymore. I just don't care.
Well, that's the strategic aspect that I'm curious to kind of tap into is where did you start to approach and incorporate the, you know, the business angle into the artistry? Because I know you have like, I mean, I can hear it. You're like, you got the research done. You've got the excitement in it. Like you can tell that both the artistry and the business game are both just passions of yours. So like, how do you start to strategize for things for yourself? When did that really start?
Well, okay. So back to me working in sales for like, my life and shit. With that, you know, you have a culture and it's kind of douchey, right? Where you get those, where you like, I try not to do it as much anymore, but maybe I should. I'm conflicted on this issue. You can tell. But the whole like, listen to motivational speakers on YouTube thing where they're like, you gotta climb up the mountain and get all of the money and fuck everyone in your way. You are a lion. Just that kind of bullshit. I remember one of those, there was a guy and you know, it could be Tony Robbins. It could be Gary Vee. It could be, you know, any of those guys, Eric Thomas, et cetera. Yeah. And what he said was, so if you want to win at anything, you got to do three things. He said, you got to lie, cheat, and steal. He said, you got to lie in bed at night thinking about how bad you want it.
Love it.
You got to cheat yourself from the things that are easy in life, like going to McDonald's and not doing exercise and not following up after somebody tells you no and not rebuttaling people. And like, and then the third one was, you have to steal ideas from other people who are doing smart shit and do it in your own way. And so I'm not fucking scared to steal a concept from somebody and do it my own way. Ryan Caraveo is fucking huge and makes fuckloads of money. Like that dude owns a house in LA and like doesn't even like rap. It's like pop music. He's fucking massive. Like if you look at Caraveo's like monthly listeners on Spotify, just bananas. He's past everybody. He's bigger than Travis. He might be getting Macklemore. I don't think quite, but like, there's nobody else. There's nobody else from Seattle who's gotten that big.
And all it takes is that one pump to get that initial push into the waters, and then you're sailing. Totally. Yeah.
Right. And that was just one thing that he did. I don't know anything else about what he did with his platform and how he promoted himself. But I will say this, he dropped quality content consistently.
Yeah.
And he probably had a considerable marketing budget. And that is my knowledge on like the recipe. Quality content, release consistently, considerable marketing budget. You do those fucking three things, you're gonna get famous.
Well, and see, this is the quality aspect of the content you're putting out in terms of the artistry, man, is like lyrically, you have some of the widest spectrum of topics I've heard covered in music in a while.
Thank you. Well, I don't know if
that's a sign of the intelligence because you're able to tie in these metaphors and historical aspects are just like all these different people and things and fields and like express it into a song. So in terms of like your process of writing, like when you're sitting down, like, is it like an emotion you're trying to express? Is it a concept or is it really just all strategized like to a T, like, oh, I want this to be like, I want this hook to be like that. I want to evoke this emotion in this line. I want to get this. Yeah, okay.
Sometimes it's like, sometimes I write songs backwards. I don't have any shame to admit that. Sometimes I will say, what kind of fans do I want? Okay. I want female fans between this age and this age who like these kind of things, these kind of artists. Okay. Let me listen to that artist's music. Okay, cool. How can I make music like this artist, but make it myself? And then I'll mix it with something else. And then I'll, you know, do the thing. But other times it's just, hey, you haven't written a rap in a few days.
you have some free time tonight, you know, after dinner, what, you have no fucking plans. It's quarantine. What are you going to do? Oh, I'm just going to go on YouTube until I find a YouTube beat, and I'm going to write a 16 because I give a shit about writing and getting good. And if you don't use it, you lose it. So I fucking write a lot. I write a lot. And sometimes it's literally just to exercise that side of my brain so that I don't lose it. So that I get, it's a 10,000 hours. I get to know myself and I know my voice really well. And I know, you know what I'm saying? What I
can't. Like your delivery and like the, I mean, in terms of just like your delivery, that's the one thing that I find is, you know, it's kind of like written music. You know, you can see that there is such a difference between if you're trying to spit a line fast or if you're trying to spit a line slow. Like you can tell that it's systematically designed. Like you're putting out there what exactly what you want to be heard. And I think that's the professionalism that I hear when I'm listening to your tracks. And I think that's something that, again,
also, thanks for giving a shit. Like, thanks for giving a shit and like going through and like listening to it, because I'm still getting used to the fact that people give a shit and people like want to listen to what I do. Right. It's a weird thing. Right. And so, No. So thank you for giving a shit. Thank you for actually not just listening to two songs that have the most views and being like, oh, okay, that's nice. And then like going through an interview, like, no, I can tell you like probably went through my whole fucking catalog and like, took notes. You're very thorough.
And I think that's one of the things that I loved about yourself is like being serious about being silly. Like, to me, that's such a great mantra for life.
Thank you. Thank you. Serious about being silly. Serious about being silly and absolutely not a tough guy.
Yeah.
I just want to look at myself in the mirror and say, hey, you did everything that you could and you lived the fuck that life and you had a good old time. And hopefully you have a good legacy and people think highly of you and think that you were important or that you provided value, you know, and that you were significant. You have a fucking good legacy. And that's the focus. Yeah. That's the focus. Just have a good time, have a good legacy, and, you know, uplift other people, bring people with you, you know?
See, that right there, that's one of the reasons why I already could tell is like that aspect of the selflessness of just like, you know, if I'm going to make it, I want to help others. I want to really be that inspiration. If I can make someone happy and laugh and enjoy their time in life, if they're suffering or sad, then like, fuck yeah, I'm going to do this.
You know, it's the balance of feeling like you ain't shit versus you're too big, right? It's like, okay, you gotta appreciate where you're at. I had a brain fart for a second. You appreciate where you're at and stay focused on the future. And it's like, okay, cool. I am here now, right? Reset in the present. Cool, I'm here now. Yesterday is dead. Tomorrow is not alive yet. How are we gonna get there? What's the plan look like? And what's in my path? What can I control right now? Okay. That thing I can't control, it does not matter then.
Yeah.
If I can't control that shit, I don't give a fuck about it. I'm not gonna care. And you know, maybe I'm shut down in that way. But it's like if some fucked up shit happens, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, past my control. Cool. Next one. But knock the next door.
See, right there, knock at the next door, that acceptance of what is. And I think that alone holds so many people back from their own greatness and opportunity, because how many people get caught up in that past mistake? Exactly.
Good. The good old should.
It's crazy to think, man. Well, like, it's the natural kind of inquisitiveness and kind of curiosity that I'm really curious about with yourself is it takes a level of introspection to kind of self-analyze and become self-aware and recognize that self-mastery is an important concept to kind of explore. And that's something that, has that always been there, or is that kind of developed through the, oh, wow, that was kind of shitty of myself?
No, yeah, over time you become more self-aware and figure out how to be less of an asshole. You know, some people start out really nice people and learn how to be more of assholes so they don't get taken advantage of. Other people start out as assholes and learn how to be, you know, more considerate. And I'm the latter of those two. You know, it's not my favorite thing to admit, but, you know, it is what it is. And actually, you know what? I'm both. I started out getting taken advantage of and, you know, being pushed around in a lot of regards. And I learned to be an asshole to overcompensate for that. And then I learned to be less of an asshole. And here we are.
Dude, I feel that. Well, because for me, it's a double-edged sword. Because, again, like, my relatability in that is the sense of going through that kind of, I always had, like, friends higher valued than family in a lot of ways growing up, just because of my experiences. You know what I mean? So just like going through that, just like losing who I was by just trying to just be someone else I'm not around the social circles, it really brought to those points of reflection. And for me, it was like still having all the Kamiak friends, having my O'Day crowd in the city, and like that experience of just to and from was just always a wild trip just to think about it. Just like, wow, like completely different worlds, and how I don't want to say like a chameleon, but like I felt that I would always lose myself. And I think just coming into that understanding of valuing who I was and getting rid of all that other bullshit of what I'm not, it's an incredibly painful process to really call yourself out and like, wow, you're kind of a shitty person. Yeah. to grow. That's the stuff that to me takes courage. And it's really, again, it's an expression of self-love. And to be able to do that, it's just like, that's next level mastery, considering we're in a world of escapism and instant gratification.
You said it. Yeah, you get it. And
I feel you, bro.
I just can't relate myself. You know what I'm saying? What is not necessarily a bad thing. What is, and that's just what it is. Right? Yeah. What it is not good or bad. It just is. And if you tell yourself what is okay and acceptable, you have a lot better time. And if you focus on what should or what isn't or what might, then you're in for a rude awakening at some point.
It's all a game of perspective, you could say. And I really do want to highlight the sense that I think that your sound for me, because I look at the discography and I'm like, what? I think what was the earliest song? Maybe like 2019 on there, like 2018. Just seeing the consistency of the lyricism. But again, like it's not only, I guess it's your perfectionism, you said. It's nothing sucks. Like, and I think that's a good thing to have. Think about it. Like, how many people just want to put out the content and just get the numbers and get the views and get the eyes on it? But just having such a diverse spectrum of sound with different artists and just different features and stuff, and it's still high quality stuff. It's good music. It's actually you expressing yourself. And again, like you have your club bangers, you have all your different genres and styles. Like you can tell which ones you're hitting. And that's a type of strategy that I do want to kind of dive into real quick.
I'm not too proud to get advice. And if something's a good suggestion, I'm going to implement it, you know? So
Too proud to get advice. I love that. You have to be humble like that. Yeah, oh man, it's been a pleasure. And I think that's one of the coolest things is like, I hope the listeners really got a chance to understand like the mind of Ryan Van Hagen a little bit more. Cause when you see those videos, it's a grenade of a lot of different shit going off at once. And I think it's the coolest thing getting to understand a little bit more behind the perspective and understanding of the creative that you are. So let's get Rusty in here real quick. Any closing words, and we can get him to close out.
Hello, Ryan. Thank you again for joining us on Creatives Chat. It's been a pleasure having you and getting to know you. You truly are the most transparent MC you've ever seen. We can see through your BS and smell your dreams.
little bar, Rusty. I love it.
I hope so. That's the idea. I just, I feel like I'm very understood person in the grand scheme of things by a lot of people, especially in the local market. So hopefully this, clears some things up and people can understand you.
Well, I really do appreciate out of the box thinkers. And I get that sometimes, the system is rigged. And in order to beat the system, you got to go with the system in order to beat it. You can't go against the system. And so so that's how people sometimes get ahead, is they manipulate the system. And how do you do that? Through mind hacks. I mean, there's just all sorts of mind hacks nowadays to get inside somebody's head and get sticky or get an earworm or, all those viral videos you see, they have there's explanations behind them of why they become sticky, And so whether they're controversial or conflicting, or they're like an accident that you can't turn away. You can't look away from, you rub your head the whole entire time because you can't look away. Even I don't want to be watching this, but I can't turn it off.
That's what I want my career to be. Just a big train wreck that people can't stop watching.
Well, congratulations, you're halfway there.
Had like what, two laughing fits, or just like gotta wipe some tears just because it's like, you know, that's the true aspect, you know, bring it full circle. When you talk about being an entertainer, is like you're here to entertain, like you want to entertain, have a good time, and like that's what gets delivered, and that's why I'm like, yeah, keep it going.
Yes, things start to change around us. Things get a little more fun and a little more enjoyable, and you start to get the dopamine rushes, and you're like, hey, hey, we're doing the thing.
We're doing here, the thing.
Like a little kid again. You know what I mean? Like,
oh yeah,
right. I mean, fuck. I don't know why people. I don't know why people can't be right. I don't know why people can't be happy. So,
well,
it's a choice. It's definitely a choice.
You've given yourself the freedom of, again, just letting go of the fear of looking different and having that be a bad thing. You know, and that's just a perspective switch. Once you wipe that off the board, it's like, oh, okay, cool. Here I am. Let's do it.
Dude, let's go.
So again. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to Creatives Chat. Ryan, thank you for being a fun and open and transparent MC.
Right back at you. Thanks, guys.
I love it.
Have a good night.
Everyone, have a happy always.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
That concludes this episode of Creatives Chat. Thank you for watching. Join us every Thursday at 3:33 p.m. Pacific Daily Time as creative minds get together and chat about who knows what. View more episodes on our YouTube channel. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Thanks again to our sponsors for making this show possible. Thank you, LoyaltyGutterServices.com and WeAreHistorically.com. Conscious Human Apparel.
Hi, I'm Darius Wilrich. I'll teach you everything you need to know about playing jazz piano like a pro with my 12-week online video course and downloadable guidebook, Jazz Piano Pro Essentials. Enroll today at jazzpianopro.com.
Thanks for joining us.